Blog Talk Radio.
And freedom, hetepu, peace and blessings. I am Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku, and welcome to another edition of Wat Dau, the Kemetic Path to Peace. Oh my, today's topic is a significant one because it contains the element of prophecy within it regarding where things are headed, where things are now, where things are going, where things have been, past, present, and future, but really the emphasis being on today. Today we are talking about Heru. Heru, the Prince of Peace. Heru, the Son of the Heavenly Father, Asir. Heru, Za-Aset. Heru, Son of Astar-Aset. And, you know, as I've been preparing for this show, it actually has been laying very heavily on my heart because of all of the aspects that go along with this show. This is one of three parts. This is a really significant topic because of the fact that we have so many today who are really very much affected by the topic, whether they realize it or not. The three major components that will go along with this topic and dealing with Heru are consciousness, leadership, and community. Heru, consciousness, leadership, and community. Let's get started with our prayers. And then I'll bring you a few announcements, and then we'll get into the show. We're starting a little later today, half an hour later, because, listen, community is really calling right now. So many, many people are in distress. And as I was preparing for the show, I got another phone call from someone who was going through. And most of the time I'm able to say, listen, I'm getting ready for my show, because I get these calls on a regular basis. Well, I'm a minister. That's what I'm here for. But sometimes as a minister and in the role of leadership, it's important to be able to know when to say, okay, not now, and when to say, okay, listen, I'll give you a few minutes, because I hear where you're at. This is part of the thing about leadership, and only because of the fact that I knew I had some time to play with here, if you will, I made the decision to, instead of doing a half an hour show from 1:30 to 2, to be able to do a full hour from 1:30 to 2:30. I'm very thankful for that amount of play time that's given to me by the network that I'm with, Main Street Universe. thank you again so much for allowing me to be part of, and asking me to be part of the Main Street Universe family. Okay. Let's start out with the 42 principles of light, foundation upon which all true Kemet, all true people of Kemet stand. Our lives are squarely centered upon that is part of our waking consciousness in all of our actions, and that guide us to a place of higher living and higher love. Anacharak ma'it, tu'a ma'it, sperda ma'it, kek em herupen. I will not do wrong. I will not steal. I will not immerse myself in depression. I will not violate another being, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictated nature. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman's mate. I will not engage in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act with selfish, destructive aggression. I will not cultivate a quarrelsome nature. I will not take a life outside of my age, nor disrespect the life force. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children. I will not mistreat animals. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within my eight. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work. I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offerings. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not blaspheme the Most High Nature. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. Duama'it, Medu Neferet. Prayer to the Necheru. Anacharak Necheru. Dua Necheru. Eredi Necheru, Ma'etanu, Unk Wuja Seneb, Mer Wurek, Emchetepu, Emhauni, Emkered, Emhau Akeru, Emhau Kepra, Emhau Kemet, Emhau Taurt. Seki, seki, seki. Dwa'u, dwa'u, dwa'u. Enk. 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 Prayer to the ancestors. Anacharak Yakut. Anacharak Shepsu. Dwa Yakut. Dwa Shepsu. Erdi. Ashapsu, Rek, Het, Ekau, Mer, Neferet, Etepu, Wrek, Sekemet, Anu, Anukku, Imshapsu Nebu, Seki, 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 Dwau, 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 Enk, Enk, Enk. Give thanks and praises. All right. Just share a couple of really brief before getting into everybody always texts me whenever. What? Oh my goodness. Okay. People always seem to manage to text me and try to call me whenever I'm on the air. And you know, I can send out a blast to people, letting them know I'm going to be on the air at such and such time. Not everybody seems to get the memo. Okay. Well, you know what? I count it a blessing that people are seeking me out, and so give thanks and praises for that, okay? Okay. Now, I'm going to be starting two comedic yoga, or ika, or yoga. Ika, yoga, yoga are the words that would be the original terminology referring to yoga, the practice that came out of Kemet. Well, how do I know? Look, just go and look at the evidence that our ancestors left behind on the temple walls and in other sacred pieces of art. And you can even just go to the page on my website regarding Kemetic yoga to see one of those illustrations. And the person is in, well, a series of people who are in the position for Rhea. And so, if you go to akerukemetictemple.info, akerukhametictemple.info, and go to the links dealing with Kemetic physics, and you will find a link dealing with Kemetic yoga, also on my Queen Mother Imaku site, and that's Imaku, I-M-A-K-H-U. People often leave out the H. Give me all my energy, y'all. I-M-A-K-H-U.info, Queen Mother Imaku.info. You will see also under Kemetic culture, there is a link. I think I moved that link. That might be under Ma'at Living. Yeah, because it deals with the holistic. I manage the websites, and for all of you who have given me such wonderful compliments on their design and on the flow of them, thank you very much. A lot of hard work goes into them. The Kemetic scriptures talk about being consistent in Ma'at, and so that means also that you should strive to make things as uniform as you possibly can, but also we are encouraged to work at a place of excellence, so it's the best that you can. And so I definitely try to give my best to the Netcheru and to our ancestors and to our community. So dua, dua, dua. But because I'm always making changes and updating things, sometimes I forget exactly where the links are. So if you just go to the queenmotherimaku.info site and search around, you'll eventually find Kemetic yoga. Now, why do I bring this up? Because I'm going to be doing, give thanks and praises, classes out at Serenity Space, which is the meditation center started by my beloved Atef Necher Meri, Grandmaster Cam, who is the head of and the founder of the Shrine of Kepra. That is my home temple. And Serenity Space is our home base. And so for those of us who are members of the Shrine of Kepra, we're able to hold events there. That used to be where I used to have communion, our Kemetic service, Hakeru Family Fellowship. That now has been moved. We'll be going to the Refall Center or Refall Headquarters in Newark. Give thanks and praises. And that gives us more space and more access to the New Jersey community because people kept saying, y'all keep going to New York. Why don't you come out here where you live? So that's very true. However, I do have a lot of people who are in New York and are asking, you're going to come and bring the service back. So y'all have to come out to New Jersey for service. But you can come if you are free around lunchtime, Wednesdays from 12 to 2, out to the Heter Aritu Hetep Kemetic Yoga class. Heter Aritu Hetep, which is the yoking the chakras in peace. And you will be learning, there are a lot of components that go along with Kemetic yoga, a lot. A lot of people really aren't aware of just how deeply spiritual it is and how it truly does yoke body, mind, and spirit. And so you will not only learn a lot in terms of relaxation and meditation, but also you will come to listen to your body, the Jemen Kat, listening to the body and seeing how it is that the Netcheru are expressed through the body, indeed. You'll get a greater range of motion and flexibility and strength, toning, but also you'll be learning a lot about you'll be learning the Kemetic language and more about our culture and our spirituality through this ancient system. So you can call me at 646-228-1185 to find out more information. That starts next week. And I will also be bringing yoga to the Stephen Sampson Senior Center. That'll be starting in a couple weeks. And I'll be dealing with the senior population there, or whoever wants to drop in. I'll be doing that as a free service to the community, just because the fact it's important to be able to give back where you live. And so, yes, indeed, very grateful about that. I'll be updating also the calendar that is on the website, just so it reflects what's going on, and I don't have to remove the camp trip that we had planned, as I told you, because as of today, the government is still in shutdown, which means it affects all of the national parks. And where we were going to be is a national park, so everything has been canceled. Let me just address something along those lines with that, because in regard to last week's lesson. Because last week, I was talking about Set and defiant behavior and oppositional behavior, and how if you really dig, you'll find that the person or the entity that is being oppositional generally has a deeper reason that all has to do with some fear of not being recognized or some actuality in not being recognized. Okay, so how does that translate over to the U.S. government right now? Well, what's going on? I just want to very quickly just say, to kind of tie that up in a bow, that a lot of the opposition that we are seeing right now, and people wanting things to really go back in time for the time clock to be rolled back, has to do with a great deal of fear that truly a lot of racist folks have about losing their identity within this country, which was founded on racism and which was able to build its power base on oppression and racism and classism, okay? So for those who are afraid of losing their identity because they're afraid that people of color are taking over, those who are afraid of losing their power because they have maintained power based on the isms, for those who are afraid of losing their loot because they have been able to maintain their wealth based on keeping people separated, based on looking down upon others, based on having their wealth built on free labor from those who were enslaved, okay, our ancestors. And for those who are finding ways today to keep that system going, because unfortunately since slavery, even though the so-called slavery was so-called abolished, there have been new ways to keep our people oppressed and to keep the free labor going. Right now we have the prison industrial complex, which is why we have an abundance of brothers who are in lockdown. Sisters too, but there are contracts that are made with these prisons, and many of them are being built by private industries that have nothing to do with the government, and they have contracts with those who are imprisoned to make products for their corporations. Slavery. Free labor. And Dr. King, before he was killed, talked about the disparity of wealth in this country, and that is true. We really need to look at how we as a community should address these issues. And, you know, I was around at the Stephen Sampson Senior Center a little while ago earlier today, And one of the seniors who is an activist said to me, you know, we need to go down to D.C. This whole thing about the government holding us hijacked is ridiculous and counters everything that the government officials are supposed to be doing for us. We need to unite and speak out because many people really do just sit back and say, oh, well, it's day 10. You have a voice. You have a responsibility to make change in your community, all right? Which leads us to today's topic. Heru, consciousness, leadership, and community. Let me share this scripture with you out of the Hosea, which is the sacred wisdom of ancient Egypt, a selection of the sacred writing from our sages. And this particular scripture is one of my favorites. You know, those of you who have been around my house or just see me walking around with my books, and I always have a book or a pad and a pen to write in, you know, or to write notes in to my books or whatever, okay? It's good to keep your mind engaged. I just want to tell you, I heard a horrific lie last night in terms of how women learn and saying that it's wrong for us to read and that we should be reading, we should be learning according to images. Listen, talking about archaic concepts, we women are not a bunch of dumb bunnies, okay? And if any of you buy into that crap, I'm sorry for you. Check yourself and realize the highly intelligent being that you are, okay? Okay. So, from the book of Ptahotep, the book of Ptahotep. If you are a leader and command many, strive for excellence in all you do so that no fault can be found in your character. For might, the way of truth, justice, and righteousness is great. Its value is lasting. And it has remained unequaled and unchanged since the time of its creator. It lies as a plain path before even the ignorant, and those who violate its laws are punished. Although wickedness may gain wealth, wrongdoing has never brought its wares to a safe port. In the end, it is Ma'at, the way of truth, justice, and righteousness, that endures and enables the upright to say, it is the legacy of my father and mother. That's a pretty heavy statement, but it's a truism because there are many leaders today who are half-stepping or not even half-stepping, okay? The whole notion of being in charge of a group or leading a group really has to do with properly guiding a group. One of the biggest problems that we have had today is that while many folks are grappling, groping, trying desperately to find the truth relating to our comedic culture, there are folks who are the blind leading the blind or who fit into the category of the saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Now, if you're fully aware of the fact that you don't know nothing and you're looking for something, someone who can tell you something, unless you really do your homework from an intuitive sense, because truly, if you can't see, then all you have really to rely on is your inner bell, your intuitive sense, to be able to tell you if this is real or if it's not. Because if you have someone who is leading you and you're blind, you don't know if the person that you have chosen to lead you has just one eye, and that one eye is runny, cataract, okay, swollen, but somebody just got mad and punched him in the face. You don't know. So you're going on to say so of somebody who says they can see and that they're giving you the truth, but they're giving you their version based on their misperceptions because, in truth, they really can't see. In the meantime, you're not realizing that 3 feet over that way is somebody with two fully functional eyes and who can see. Instead, you're listening to this one person with the one runny eye telling you, no, I'm telling you the truth. This is this and this is that. Your inner bell is telling you, go over 3 feet this way. There's something there. But then your ego steps in and says, well, I don't want to be wrong. I'm going to stay right here. And you're going to continue to push the teachings that are being shoved at you that are incorrect. I have seen so many people, I mean so many, it's disheartening how many people who have come in, who allow themselves to be led astray by people who they know, what they come to a place of finally knowing that this person's stuff is raggedy. But because they're all caught up in it, and they've been selling other people on it, and they don't want to be wrong or embarrassed, they just stay there until something happens to them. Okay? And that's selfish. Because you are depriving yourself and also the others that you are encouraging to go down this wrong path, to follow along with this individual who can't really see. How does this relate to Heru? Heru, whose image is the falcon, okay? The falcon, which has sharp vision, it can see great distances with great acuity at that. Who is able to fly high, who ascends high up into the clouds. All right? And Heru is described in various forms. In his younger state, and I say state because Heru also represents the state of consciousness, but in his youth, he is referred to as Heru the Blind. Because he has not come into his knowledge yet. He can't see. He is working purely from emotions, from anger, and from lack of vision. He is angry in a justifiable sense, yes, because let's look at the story. Again, going back to the story. And in the story regarding Heru, Nebhet, Set, and eventually you'll learn about Jehuti and Het-Heru. In that story, well, you heard about Het-Heru before, but in how she relates to this story. In that story lies the prophecy of our people. It tells where we have come from, what we were, what we ended up becoming, what we are fighting out of now, and why it's important for us to understand what true consciousness is. Because a lot of people who think they're conscious are still asleep. Still a little asleep, okay, or very much asleep. And certainly if you come to a new level of awareness, that's wonderful. But it doesn't mean you know everything. And it doesn't mean that you're fully awake. Because awakening happens in stages, even for sages. For those who are the wisdom keepers, for those of us who are the teachers, the leaders, and the ministers, and the role of priesthood today requires all of these roles. It wasn't necessarily that way back in Kemet. Everybody had their designated roles. But because of where we are today in the reclamation of our legacy, if you are a really good priest, or an excellent priest, that also means that you have to be an excellent teacher and an excellent minister. okay? But in order to do that, you have to be able to dig yourself. You have to be able to see. You have to see yourself and how you project out to the world and what you need to change about yourself and what is true, what is a lie, what is coming from ego. And you also have to be able to see the needs of the community. So, okay, story. Going back to the story. All right, so last week when we talked about Set, we talked about his battling first, he first conquered his brother after his brother's indiscretion with Set's wife. Then Ost brought forth the seed of Asar, and again, this is a highly abridged version, and that seed was Heru. Heru, which is where the word hero comes from. Heru was born to save Kemet, because as Set took over, then he basically ran things from a very iron-fisted way, very egocentric and selfish and demanding and, what's the word that I want? Tyrannical, all right? Which completely destroyed the harmony that Aset and Asar had taught the people and that folks were living in. Now, let's remember the first part of the leadership lesson regarding Asar, because it is important to always keep your eye on the ball, meaning you are always supposed to keep your responsibility as a leader to the community first. That goes before any issues that you might have with lust, with greed, any kind of selfish, low-based desires, all right? So that's the first part of the lesson. The second part is to own all of who you are so that you understand fully who you are. In our classes in Akheru, Temple of the True Living Waters, study is based on the Aritu. Deep, deep study, the chakras, the Aritu is the original term, and the energy centers within the body will also reveal to you why you're living, how you're living. All the characteristics really break down what your childhood was like, where you come from in terms of your ancestry, the behaviors that you engage in now, and why you can't get past certain pains, if you're stuck someplace within yourself emotionally, why you're not achieving, why you are achieving. All of these things. This was the original form of psychology, if you will. So I like to refer to it as African psychology. Because truly, you must deal with all aspects of your mental and emotional and spiritual state when you're dealing with the Aritu. And through the Aritu study, you learn the guardians at each and every single level. Every level. Okay? Because as the guardians are expressed without in everything that you see, they also are within. And through the Aritu study, it is another way of being able to tap into those energies. But again, above all, you must know who you are. As a leader, understand if you have deficits and you need to address them. Understand your strengths and continue to build upon them, all right? Because what you bring to the community will be a reflection of who you really are. And the thing that is of utmost importance is, again, community. Community, okay? So, we have Heru. He is born. And he now basically is being raised by his mother and community. Did you hear what I said? By his mother and community. Yet he is painfully aware of the fact that he was supposed to be living high on the hog, as they say. He is aware of the fact that his father was killed. He is aware of the fact that he doesn't get the abundant life that ideally he should have been born into, and that is his birthright. So, yeah, he has a right to be angry, absolutely. But anger is supposed to be fueled into something positive. You ever meet somebody who just complains all the time, and you know, if you talk solutions, and they're like, they don't want to hear you because they just want to keep complaining. Your justified anger should bring about positive results so that you want to affect change in your community. Okay, but Heru, as a young boy, as a young man, was warring from a place that was unbalanced, and because he could not see. That phase of his life is referred to being his being Heru the blind, all right? And it is even there's an even greater understanding of that metaphor with the final battle that he had, well, the next to the last battle that he had with his uncle. Because as I shared last week, when he was in battle for the throne, and that he had been raised to be a warrior, okay? And this, he completely flipped around because he was born a sickly child, and eventually became strong. I shared about that in the stories about in the episode about Aset, how she strengthened him. He was given wise counsel through Jehuti. Now again, this is where it's important for a neighborhood to raise a child, a community to raise a child. All right, and. So he was fully ready to take on his uncle in battle, in a way, because, again, he was going in somewhat blind. He had not come fully into any level of wisdom yet. When you are young and trying to step up into leadership, it is wise to hearken to your elders, because let's be real about this. If you have not been on the planet as long as other people have been walking here, then obviously they're going to know some things that you don't know. The wise leader hearkens to his elders. And even for myself as an elder, I stop everything when my elders call. And, I mean, I get off the phone. I stop whatever I'm doing. As soon as I see if they're calling, that's it, okay? Grand Queen Mudaz calls me, Grandmaster calls me, that's it. I get off the phone, okay? Because I appreciate their wisdom. While I have been down the road longer than a lot of y'all coming up, still I honor the fact that they have been further down the road than I have and have wisdom to give me. And I'd be an absolute fool not to listen and take it, okay? And to observe how they do things. Because those are my lessons in leadership. I said I just came from the Stephen Sampson Senior Center out here in Elizabeth, and I forgot to mention that the class will be in Elizabeth. Yeah, that's the Stephen Sampson Center. That will be on Fridays. But I go there because, you know, listen, I've taught out there before. They know me over there. And, you know, I'm on the younger end of the elder tip, yeah. But still, I thoroughly enjoy hanging out with the folks over there because they have so much richness that they share. And you're able to really see, at least I am, able to see how to be a dignified elder who also loves life and also makes change, because these are activist folks, a lot of them over there too. So, Heru received the benefit of wisdom from his mother, from his aunt, from Jehuti. But, you know, when you're young, sometimes if you're offered advice, you don't always know to take it, because you kind of have this whole ego thing going on. Now, listen, that's not to say that older people don't have ego issues, all right? But and for those of you who are older, you remember those days. You remember, particularly the ages between 19 and 29 or 30. That's when you are the most cocky. You know, you are legally an adult. You come to a place where you figure out, because you're the new generation, that you have better insights than your forebears. You know, your elders don't know what they're talking about. And you think that way because of the fact that you are coming through a very young filter. You're coming from only what you know. And so it's hard for you to be able to understand certain things because you have not achieved that level of living yet. to give you the insight. And that's a very general thing, actually, that mankind will do. You know, there's limited information, and you dig yourself up on the fact that you know this, yet and still, you're not opening yourself to the fact that there is a lot more information out there for you to be able to process to make a truly informed decision. And now, when I get to the whole piece about community in a future show in this series regarding Heru, then I'll also talk about the fact that there's too much information right now, and people are bigging themselves up on too much information without being able to properly process it. And so, again, that's another talk. In the battles, Heru, who is coming from this very youthful place, lots of zeal, all right, a lot of fury, a lot of heat, right, is going to battle with his uncle. When he wins, it is day, because Heru means day. It means day. It is also symbolic for being awake, all right? But then when Set wins the battle, it is night. So you have this day, night, day, night, day, night. And in one very brutal battle, Heru gets his eye gouged out. It is prepared, and within it contains the wisdom of his mothers, of Oset and Nebetet. And that is what comprises the Wuchat, which is the pineal gland. And Wajet and Nekabet. Wajet is Oset. Nekabet is Nebetet. Once his eye is repaired, it becomes his metaphorical third eye, okay? Now, when it was gouged out, he could not see correctly. Another aspect of Heru the blind. Once his intuitive eye became open, now, in Kemetic tradition, we refer to the third eye as the first eye, because it is important to be in touch fully with your intuition. Remember what I said in the beginning of the class here. Remember that if you are blind, if you don't know, then you must make sure that you have a strengthened inner bell, that your intuitive sense is strong. Think about blind people. I always think about Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Helen Keller. They had to rely on their intuitive sense in order to be able to move forward. And otherwise, they could have easily just taken the easy way and just sat back and be pitied and all this. But when you are intuitively awake, it makes a huge difference in how you conduct your life. All right, Heru becomes awake. He's finally awake. He lives into his name. In fact, doubly so. You've heard of Heru Kuti. That is the doubly enlightened Heru, because he was really awake. And he realized that the battle was not just for him. In fact, his insight, well, not even insight, his way of looking at it was, you know, you owe me. You owe me. Give it to me. You owe me. I'm going to take it. Give it to me. Okay, and listen. When you're entitled to things, yes, okay, you fight for it, ideally. But there's a way that you fight for it. And you have to have a fully aligned system, meaning your head, your heart, your spirit should be in balance. That is ma'et, all right? Remember, the root of ma'et is ma'a. Ma'a means to see. You have to be able to see what the effects of your actions are going to be, and own the responsibility for the actions that you take, okay? So, he realizes, though, even though he knows he's entitled to this, that it wasn't just about him. It was about his ancestors. In this case, talking about especially talking about Asar, and how he had a responsibility to move forward and continue the work of his father. He had a responsibility to his mother, who raised him in spite of the times that he would lash out at her. because of her dedication, her devotion to not just her son, but to the greater purpose of saving and saving the people of Kemet and restoring Ma'at. He had a responsibility to the people of Kemet because of all that had been undone. The balance had to be restored. Once he came to that level of awareness and was truly awake, that's when he was able to go into the final battle against Set and conquer him. There are many stories you can find regarding how that happened. There is one story where he is Heru Behudet. And in some, there, he is Heru the Elder, but in others it refers to Heru the Son. Heru the Elder is the brother of Set, Asar, Nebuhet, and Aset. And anyway, but in some of the stories, it refers to Heru, the sun. And the Behudet is the winged disc that you see, where you have the wings coming out of it. Sometimes you will see the falcon head and the wings and the talons that each have shen. In each talon. And so there is a yoga a position that is Behudet. Okay? I do it every time I need to raise my consciousness and raise my energy. So the awakened Heru who brings about balance. And I explained last week that he did not kill his uncle. Instead, he understood finally what his mother was trying to tell him. You can't kill him. He is you. And it didn't just mean from the standpoint of his being a relative, okay? Although that was one aspect of it. The other part, though, is that Set resides within. And once you come to acknowledge that, you will be able to subjugate that energy and put it to effective use. So he puts to effective use blowing the bark of Re. So the energy which you feel in your spine as opposed to Set or Setesh tingling throughout your body and just governing you, because in truth, he was acting very much like his uncle before he became awake. That energy of Set in its relegated role that is balanced within Ma'at will help your life force energy. The bark of Re represents the journey of the life force throughout the day and the cycle of day and night that your body goes through and the energy in your body goes through, okay? So, the conscious community and the conscious leader, how awake are you? How awake are you? Because there are folks today who just take a little bit of information and next thing you know they've got a show or they've got a book they've got this blog where people think that it's their information but it's not. Okay? And in fact, let's look at the various attributes that go along with Sukti, the solar plexus. Solar plexus. Now, these terms that I use regarding the Aritu are terms that I personally researched, all right? So that's germane to Akeru Temple. So, Sukti real, which is rays of light, and also sight. That is the solar plexus. The color is Gini. Gini is yellow. And the characteristics that go along with the solar plexus also go along with the awakened Heru. Okay, so you have courage. You have a sense of community where you realize it is not just about you. It's not just about you. And I find when people come and they're stuck in this place of whining about everything being so hard. And then you listen really to their lives, and you get to know them, and you realize, wow, these people kind of punks, you know? I mean, when you're dealing with solar plexus, you ain't dealing with no punks. You can't be a punk. In living this life and truly in being a leader, you can't be a punk. You can't be afraid to deal with different situations. You can't be afraid to jump in when it's necessary. But also that means you can't be afraid of the wisdom when you know not to jump in, even though everybody else is going that way. Okay? So, also, you have, yes, your eyes are open to the truth. It is about being able to bear the heat. Being able to bear the heat. Okay. Now, the symbol that is attributed to the solar plexus is that of the sun. And the sun in Metanature is symbolized by the circle with a little dot in the center. There's a much deeper meaning behind it. That's what I teach in my classes. But anyway, we'll go with that for right now because that's what the general understanding is. The sun. And the heat, okay? And also illumination. Illumination, which basically means that you are a light to your community. But it means that it is a true light that emanates from within and shines without. Some people are fooled by folks who come up all nice and shiny and the garb is pretty and the hair is nice and the talk sounds good. But I'm telling you, if you really dig deeper and engage in deeper conversation with some of these people who put on superficial images of prettiness, you find out that, first of all, they're usually about themselves. They're not really about you, okay? They usually have their own hidden agendas. And but there is no light within. What you want to do is be the person who is the beacon within, and then it resonates without. That's the idea. Okay, so we were talking about shallowness in terms of Nebethet before. You know, shallow being one aspect, a negative aspect of her. Shallowness is a negative aspect also of the other side of Tsungti, of the solar plexus. Because once you become awakened, that's when you're ready to receive more information to process about how to govern your life. People who always want to just, you ever meet people where they can't stand hearing anything negative? They can't stand it. And it's not a matter of choosing not to hear something negative because you can get bombarded. And truly want to be positive as much as you can. You have to be realistic, though, all right? For the people who don't know how to process the sometimes ugliness of life, that makes them weak, which leads to the weak will also. It leads to a weak mind, a weak spirit, and a weak will. The solar plexus is also about the will, but it's the divinely aligned will. The divinely aligned will. Western culture teaches that the will should be about just pushing through whatever you want to do. Well, you can get results, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing for you and your path. The divinely aligned will is intuitively connected to everything and to the Netzaru, to the Iyakut, the Shepsu, all right? So that you know that your steps are correct. But we have so many things in society today that are designed to break the will. Drugs, alcohol, garbage on TV. But let me really address that drug and alcohol thing. Let me ask you something. When a crisis hits you, or even something that seems like a crisis, because certainly what's a crisis to one person, maybe nothing to somebody else. But when a crisis hits you, do you find that you're not able to get through it unless you pick up a bottle or some weed? Do you need some pills or something else, or you know, you end up eating half a chocolate cake, just something else because you can't cope? If that's the case, then your will is broken and out of alignment. And many of our people today are dealing with and functioning, barely functioning, with a broken will. Now, that also regards, that goes along with medication. I can tell you myself, from when I was on medication for epilepsy, I would have to kind of fight to get in touch with my will. I might be thinking, wow, I want to do this, but the other part is just like, wow, my brain's not connected to make it happen. Or, wow, I really want to do this, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I really feel like dealing with that, because your shell, it becomes diminished. Once I stop taking the medication, man, I mean, you know, your whole awareness changes, and you're able to strengthen that muscle, because the will is a muscle, and you have to really be aware of if your will is as strong as it needs to be, and if it needs to be strengthened. Because with the strengthened will, you're able to make change. We're always talking about making change, affecting change, to make change. That term is Erike Peru, to affect transformation, to change forms, to transmute. All right? Eri, which is part of Erit, the energy within you. If your life force is diminished because of external things, or even if you're inside your head too much, you're constantly worrying, overthinking things, maybe this will happen. Oh, I don't know. What if? That's a sign also that your will is not properly functioning. So, as we're coming to the close of this class, I'm going to pick up in the next show, next week, our next class, with part two of Peru, Consciousness, Leadership, Community. If you want to learn more about Kemetic culture, then visit our website. I also want to let you know, for those of you who are coming to fellowship with us at Refall, it will probably be the beginning of November that we'll be starting. But in the meantime, I want to let you know also that any week you go to Refile, you're going to get an excellent Kemetic service, because we're alternating Sundays with the Temple of Anu, our brother temple here in New Jersey. Hey, New Jersey is the place to be. We are shaking it up here in New Jersey. Temple of Anu, which is led by Hem Nechur Nesut Biti Rasanku, and he is an excellent leader and teacher. We are collaborating on a lot of different things because we want to make sure that the Kemetic education and leadership that you receive will be excellent, and that you will come away in truth and empowered, and that you will continue to grow on this wonderful, wonderful ancestral journey and making it relevant to today. I am Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku. It is my pleasure, again, to come before you, and I want to wish you a strong and empowered and joyous day. Know that you are blessed. Know that you are loved. Mereah.